This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, covering a lot of different things around the Umpqua Valley. And back in today, State Representative Virgil Osborne. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So I guess let's start out with the obvious around Oregon, though not applying here right now particularly. What's your take on the wildfire situation?
Yeah, it's pretty bad out there right now. We're getting regular updates from the fire marshal, state fire marshal, and Oregon State Forest Department of Forestry as well. There's some fires that have popped up that are not getting much attention, and those are the ones that I'm probably the most concerned about. And that's I believe it's Castle Fire that's northeast of Tiller, and then of course the Evans Creek fire is there. I think they have it about 67-68% contained, something like that. I think I heard this morning. There's a lot going on out there. A lot of lightning strikes have caused almost all of them have been caused by lightning strikes from that last storm that went through. And, you know, we're early in the year. So as of a couple of weeks ago, we were at $35 million spent. And I believe we're spending money on the fires right now around $3 million a day. And it's probably going to continue to rise. So I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we're back in special session here at the end of summer to try to find a way to pay our firefighters.
Now, in some of the northeastern fires, northeastern Oregon have just ramped up to a mega fire size almost overnight.
Yeah, they're burning together and causing all kinds of havoc. You know, we're not feeling it as much here right now locally because the winds are prevailing from the west going to the east, and we're just not seeing the drift smoke like we've seen in the past. So it's almost like a little bit out of sight, out of mind, but it's really a problem. My phone has just been blowing up. I'm getting lots of calls from our local contractors who are upset because they're not out on the fire, and I'm trying to get them out on the fire. I'm making phone calls, doing what I can. There are a number of reasons why they're not able to go out on the fire, but a lot of it has to do with the fact that the fires aren't being managed, and we cannot send people out to fight fire without a management team in place to fight the fire, and we don't have any management teams, and frankly, we didn't prepare for it. Our legislature and our governor, frankly, did not do anything about that early in the year or when we had time, when it was raining still, to put fire teams together. So right now, I think they're in the process of trying to scavenge up as many fire teams as they can so they can get some equipment on the fires. And I also heard today on the news, I think actually on your report, that Wyden and Merkley both have sent a letter off to FEMA, upset because FEMA has not funded some of those wildfire teams. So we have a lot of challenges going on out here, and it's almost like Oregon's being forgotten right now.
Well, and right now looked upon as the worst fires in the nation cumulatively in the state. With all that happening, the topic of federal forest management always tends to come up. Do you see any movement recently in that topic?
I mean, we're trying. I think there's been some real progress made with the Trump administration has appointed some folks in charge with the Department of the Interior, BLM, and I think our local commissioners are working well. Particularly Tim Freeman has been working with some of them, and I think that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, but we haven't started the process yet. We don't have the trees coming off the forest. We're not managing the forest yet, but I think there's hope. Hopefully, within the next couple of years, we can start seeing some of that timber being managed. And, you know, part of the problem is every time we try to do a federal cut, we have, you know, a ton of environmentalists that just don't want anything cut, yet they don't like the smoke and they don't like the fire. And we are just not doing our due diligence to manage our forest. And, you know, I get called all kinds of names because I think we should manage our forest. I'm not saying that we should go out and clear cut the forest, but we need to manage our forest so we stop some of these fires.
Now, while you're seeing some of this movement on the current administration, the reality is in 2 years, it's a different administration. Might be Republican, might be Democrat, but you don't know what their priorities are going to scope out to be.
Yeah, well, you know, part of the Trump administration has moved the, I think it was BLM, it might have been Forest Service actually, moved to Utah. So they're putting they're putting people in places where management makes sense, and trying to get them out of Washington, D.C., where it makes no sense to manage the West Coast from Washington, D.C. So hopefully that will stick and it'll stay. The political football that we are throwing around right now, it's hard to say where we're going to be in a couple of years. I see a lot of potential good changes, but I see a lot of derailments that could easily change everything. And if it does, I truly believe that rural Oregon is going to be, we're going to suffer first.
Now, for lawmakers, is this kind of a calm period this time of the summer?
No, I think this is probably one of our more chaotic periods during the interim. Of course, session is the most chaotic because you have so many things you're doing. But right now, everybody's in full campaign mode. We're trying to, do what needs to be done to pick up seats in the Republican Party. But also, I'm busy writing bills. I brought some with me today. But we have bills that we're fronting for people. And just lots of events. And we have fair coming up next week, which will be, I'm pretty much at the fair booth from 10 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, every day of the fair.
And any other summer events that you're going to be attending or have been at lately?
Well, we just had our meet and greet at Looking Glass Brewery. That was last weekend, and it went really well. And we have several other small things that are coming up. We'll probably do some more meet and greets toward the fall. Just to kind of, get people interested in asking us questions. And a lot of time, I have my podcast, which we do every Tuesday as well. And it's always open for questions. So when people watch us, if they comment in the comments a question, we'll address them. And we do get a lot of good questions there. So, part of my intention is to be as transparent as I can possibly be.
What were you hearing from some of the folks at the Looking Glass Brewery event?
Well, it was interesting because a lot of the concern at Looking Glass were the elections, and people still have, the impression that the elections were stolen and they were fraudulent. And so, we're always addressing that question. It just continues to go on and on. The other concern was picking up seats in the House and picking up seats in the Senate. People want to know, if there's any chance that Christine Drazen's going to, pull off the governor's race. But, there wasn't. We were expecting a lot of questions and concerns, for instance, things that are really concerning, like wildfires, and we didn't hear a lot of that. I think a lot of folks are out of sight, out of mind on some things. And, on my podcast, I had the state fire marshal and the state forester on there specifically so people could ask questions about wildfire at contractors and what have you, and we didn't really have any questions at all. The questions that were asked, I asked myself, and we got some decent answers out of it and everything, but I think people need to stay more engaged.
Now, for you, campaigning a little different this time around.
It is. I don't have an opponent on the Democrat side or the Republican side. In fact, I'm actually I'm the candidate for the Republicans, and the Democrats wrote me in as their candidate as well, which I was honored to know that that is the case. And I've said this before. I think that Douglas County Democrats in general have the same concerns. I mean, we all live in rural Oregon. We have, we all shoot guns. We all don't like taxes. We all, if you get away from the hot topics, I think we're all pretty much, we live in peace and harmony together. So what it's given me time to do is help others. And I've done that. We're donating, campaign funds and time to help other races across the state for Republicans to hopefully pick up some seats. And I spend a little more time on that side of the fence.
Now, you mentioned the governor's race. How is that looking to you right now? And obviously, there's a long way to go till November.
Yeah, it's looking about the best it's ever been since I've been paying attention. And I thought in 22 we had a really good shot and we didn't get it. But this time around, Christine Drazen's pulling about 4 points ahead of Kotek right now, which I think that's kind of old news. But what's interesting news is there are some districts where we should be behind by double digits, and we're actually not. The four points was an average, but there are some districts that are closer to urban districts, like for instance around Multnomah County, where we should be trailing by 11 points, and we're actually ahead by two or three. I mean, so it's promising if we can just keep things together for the next 5 months, and hopefully we'll pick up the governor's seat. I think it would change the whole state for the better.
Now, there is a Green Party candidate, I believe it is, that's now in the race. Do you see that having an impact?
If anything, it may take some votes away from Kotek, but I don't know that, I think at this point it's too late to get in the race. And, if you're getting in, you're just, you're getting in on principle. You're not getting in it to win it.
All right, going to take a break. Back with more. State Representative Virgil Osborne, the interviewer. Podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Melanie Frummer of Peace at Home Advocacy Center will be on Inside Douglas County tomorrow. State Representative Virgil Osborne in studio today, just talking about the governor's race a minute ago. Looking towards the fall, do you feel like the potential for GOP gains in Oregon could be impacted, though, with, I mean, it's looking right now like a lot of Democratic gains nationally are going to come into Congress. Does that impact things at all in Oregon?
Oh, yeah, it certainly does. The midterms for Republicans in Oregon, when you have a Republican governor, or I'm sorry, Republican president, it's not a great time. And but I will say we have a lot of really good qualified candidates that are running, and particularly Brad Hicks down in the Ashland area. Running against, he's running against the replacement for Senator Golden. And I think, you know, Brad is much more qualified than the other folks that's run on the Democrat side. And I think it could be good for the state. Senator Golden was responsible for the fire maps, which really hurt people, not just insurance wise, but hurt people in general in rural areas. And, that's a seat we need to pick up. I think it would be good for Oregon for that. I also think that there are some other seats, like Cyrus Javidi's seat up in Tillamook. Cyrus, if you remember, was the state rep that was a Republican that switched over to the Democrat Party. He's not well-liked in his district right now, and he also switched because he wanted to vote yes on the transportation tax. So I think if we pick that seat up, and if we can pick up at least two seats and maybe three, we can get out of the supermajority, which would block new taxes. And that's the most important thing right now in the House and the Senate. If we get one of the two bodies out of the supermajority, then we can stop taxes, new taxes.
Now, what kind of effort does it take when you are going out and trying to get folks to run for some of these positions, that were, not when they've just jumped out on their own, but when you've got an idea about somebody that you think would be a good fit? How much work does that take sometimes?
It takes a lot of work and a lot of money. The caucus has an entire campaign team that is paid by the caucus, and there's also other outside influencers that come in to help as well. And the first thing is, in the primary, you have to kind of see who wins. And the caucus can't support any particular candidate in a primary if there's two Republicans running. But once you get through the primary, then it's just a matter of trying to vet the candidate and make sure that they have, you know, everything they need to win the race. And frankly, the candidate themselves, it takes a lot of work. I mean, right now we have candidates all over the Northwest that are literally going door to door. And, not just asking for a vote, but trying to, you know, get to know the people that are in their districts. So I've done a fair amount of that myself. It's not an easy job, and it costs a lot of money to have people help you. I mean, just to have a consultant costs about $4,000 a month. I think that's what I was spending in my first race.
So, do you ever get somebody that almost says yes and then backs out?
To be a candidate?
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah, it's happened. There are a lot of qualified people that don't want to stick their neck out. I mean, I think there are some good qualified folks that could probably win, you know, the districts, but they know that if they do stick their neck out there, that, you know, they're going to have, I mean, we all get called names, we all get picked on. It just comes with the territory. I'm over that, right? I mean, but there are people that don't want to deal with that on a daily basis. They have family and they have kids and they don't like the abuse. And politics is all about, we get beat on. We get beat on a lot.
Now, you talked about legislation for the next session. What are you working on?
Well, I just happened to bring a little list of some of the stuff I have working, Kyle, because I asked Jen to print it off for me. So I have a few things. I have, of course, we have the bills that the police-related judicial system, crime against child predator. We're trying to make it a little more stiff penalties on some of the stuff that's going on online with child sex-related corruption. I have, five bills for that. I also have a drone bill that one of my local constituents came up with, and I thought it was a good bill after reading it, so we put it through, and it's kind of a privacy issue, you know, your Fourth Amendment. I know the flock camera thing is a big deal right now, and drones kind of have a way of being in the same problem. I mean, you have drones can be up, they can be photoing your house, photoing, you know, things that you don't want to photo that's your own personal stuff, and this bill will require a disclosure and a timeline of disclosure prior to somebody flying. You know, and it excludes emergency flights. You know, if the police are looking for somebody or you need, you know, fire rescue, something like that, that's excluded. But if your neighbor wants to fly a drone and video your friends in the backyard or whatever, they're going to have to give you notice that they're going to do it or it's breaking a law. So we'll see if we can get that through. I have a veterinarian's bill too that's actually, it's kind of a strange one, but there's some fraudulent stuff that's going on with the advertisement, and we're trying to clean up some of that. But so right now, bills that I've turned in, I guess I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and more to come.
And refresh people's understanding of what it takes to get from an idea to a bill.
Yeah, so ideas are usually something that starts with the constituents. They'll come to us with an idea, and we'll take that, write it down on paper, kind of visit with them and say, is this what you really want to do? And it'll be yes or no. Once we get that in our hands, we send it off to Salem to our attorneys in the Capitol. There's 20 of them, and they'll assign one to our bill, and they'll go through it, make sure it's constitutional, make sure it checks all the boxes, and they'll start writing up the words for it, how it should sound, and then they'll send it back to us, and then we usually take it back to our constituent and say, okay, here's what it looks like now. Do we want to make any changes? And this can happen 3 or 4 times before we actually go to committee with it. And then if we can get a hearing in committee, then we go to the floor from there.
Now, all the legislation you're working on, any of this impacted at all by not knowing who the governor will be and what the leadership style and priorities are going to be?
I don't think so. No, I think, most of the crime bills that I have are going to make crime the punishment a little harder for criminals, particularly child predators. I mean, that's the whole idea. We're trying to make it harder, make it stiffer penalties on them. So I think that if Kotek is our governor, she probably, and for that matter, if the majority party in hearing, they're probably not going to want to hear it because they are against crime or against making penalties tougher on criminals, I should say. My party wants to make it tougher on criminals to be criminals, but unfortunately, our governor doesn't see it the same way.
Talk about the Oregon Department of Transportation. Any movement there?
No, we haven't really. There are meetings going on. I haven't been involved in any of those. I've getting some updates on them. They have no clue what they're going to do about financing it yet. Although it's funny, I look around and I see all kinds of projects going on. The Highway 42 project. I see projects going on up north and to the east. And somehow all those projects are still happening, and somehow or another, nobody got laid off. So I think that we were lied to. We were saying that the whole time, that the money was just a push to raise your taxes. Who knows where the money was going to go, but I think right now it's business as usual.
Do you feel like ODOT is going to get addressed in the next session?
Oh, I guarantee it will get addressed. Right now, nobody wants to talk about it very much because we're in campaign season, and especially those representatives that are in swing districts that they don't want to bring it up. They don't, it's a hot topic. It is hot enough that it will turn a Democrat vote into a Republican vote if they're not careful. So they don't like talking about it.
And what are some of the other big issues you see for legislators next session?
Well, I know there's a lot of stuff in the queue, and a lot of stuff I don't like. And a lot of these bills we don't ever really get to hear about until we go into the either legislative days. Sometimes we'll hear about it, but we don't hear about them because they're somewhat kept secret. There's new taxes on the horizon. I heard they're talking about doing a millionaire's tax because that's a good idea, right? I mean, they run everybody out of Washington. Now they're going to try to run anybody with any money out of Oregon. There's a lot of that kind of stuff going on. I have a lot of constituents that are really upset with, and rightfully so, for the death tax, so to speak, when the state's taxing you and your assets are $1 million or more, which is almost everybody these days, you're paying that out to the state and hurts your family. I mean, so there's a lot of We're going to push a lot of really good bills. We'll probably not get, you know, we probably won't get a lot of them through if the majority party still is in control.
Do you feel like, are you hearing a lot about this whole estate tax issue, given the fact that Oregon's just about the only state that hasn't moved it up to a higher number?
Yeah, and that was, I just had a phone call literally before I got here from a constituent about that. Yeah, and it should. I mean, the very minimum, it should go up just to $5 million. And really what's happened is the majority party's gotten fat on the taxes. They know they have a revenue stream that's coming in from that tax, and they know that they have places to send that money. And any time we change the way that money comes in, it's going to hurt wherever they're sending the money. So I, you know, although I know it needs to happen, I think this state needs to be more livable and more affordable. I just don't see where the majority party has got to the point where they care enough to do it.
So next week, the fair booth, tell people where you'll be at, et cetera.
Yeah, I'll be in the same spot I've been in the last, since 22. I think it's a community building, the first building you come into when you walk through the gates there. And we'll be setting up, I'll be there. I'm pretty much at the fair from 10 o'clock in the morning when the building's open. I think it's 10 until they close every day. I'm there for questions. I know that there's going to also be the Republican booth will be there as well. I have my own booth. I believe Commissioner Boyce also has a booth, and I believe Representative Boyce has a booth, and I don't know how many other booths there are. So, but if you have questions or concerns, I mean, that is the time to do it.
All right, State Representative Virgil Osborne, 1258.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. It's presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.